And it seemed like years and years of frustration, my childhood, the alcoholism, the abuse that I went through in my lifetime, and the drinking, and the man that I've gone through, that I've lived with and married to, and all of that just came forth. And I mean, it just seems like everything was just coming out of me.
Stay-gut-day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear more from Janet Martinez from the Navajo Nation as she shares about how she was able to put her past behind her when she found new life in Jesus Christ.
When I got to Dallas, it was a very scary sight. It was huge change from the reservation. We got on the bus to go downtown the first day of school. My sister was there for 6 months before I was, and we got on that bus, and I hung on for dear life downtown. That thing was moving so fast, and I was telling my sister, why don't they slow this down? He said, this is how they drive here. That's just the way it is. You'll get used to it. And of course, I did get used to it. As soon as I graduated from that school, I got a job. And keyboard operator was not my thing. I mean, we sat there like assembly workers, you would say. They would say when to start, when your break is, when your lunch is, you get back. And you just sat there all day. And I said, no, this is not for me. I can't do this. And so I told my sister, I said, you know, I think I'll go to the military. And she said, oh, no, you can't do that. Mom won't let you. And I said, well, Mom's not here. I said, this keyboard operator, it's not agreeing with me. I can't sit there all day and key and key and key. And I said, it's not a fulfilling life for me. So I called the Air Force. And they weren't in. I called the Navy. They weren't in. And I didn't want to go to the Army, so I called the Marine Corps, and she said, when do you want to take the test? And I said, well, what about this afternoon? That was like on a Tuesday. So she come by, and she bought us pizza, and I went ahead and took the test, and she called me back the next day, and she says, oh, you pass. When would you like to go? And I said, how about Friday? She said, oh, well, you'll be going to South Carolina, and it's pretty hot. This is May. It's really hot. I said, it doesn't matter. So it's fine. I'll go through boot camp. It doesn't bother me. So I was always strong willed. I always wanted to take care of myself. But little did I know that I can't do everything on my own. And so I went to the military. I went through South Carolina boot camp. And everybody was getting married in boot camp, and I thought, I'm not getting married. There's no way I'm going to get married. But I met a man there. He had just come back from Vietnam, and we ended up getting married after a couple years, and we moved to Camp Pendleton, California, and he got transferred to Japan, so I came home for a couple years. But in that separation, we just weren't compatible. After we got back together, we stayed together for 6 years, but without any kids, we just grew apart. So we had gotten a divorce, and I was going to Arizona Western College, and I graduated, and my brother was living in Oklahoma, and I thought, well, I'll just see if I can go to Oklahoma. So I called my brother, and I said, can I come to Oklahoma and live with you for a while? It won't be long. I'll just stay for a while, and he said, fine. So I worked, and I went to school full-time at OCU. And I ended up working part-time, and that wasn't enough because it was pretty expensive school. My VA was paying for part of it. Navajo Tribe was paying for part of my college. But still, I didn't have enough. So I started working part-time here and there. And that's when I started meeting other Indians here, and of course, I went to partying, and and a lot of running around, a lot of powwows, and I just got so involved with that. And all this time, I never even thought of going to church. Never. And so I was doing a lot of running around, doing a lot of drinking, not even trying to protect myself from anything. And so I started working at the post office in 1982. And I worked there, and I just almost lost my job because of senseless things, getting injured. Plus, on top of getting injured, we were all just partying every night, and almost lost my job. And so, in this time, I was living by myself, and I was just living from day to day. And one of my friends said, "Let's go to a discotheque on Tuesday night. That's ladies' night. We don't have to pay anything." And I said, "Nah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go." She bugged me for about a month, and I finally said, "Okay, we'll go." I said, I can handle it. I'll go." So we went together. That's where I met my husband, Pedro. He's from Venezuela. And he asked me to dance, and I seen him dance, and I said, "No, thank you." And he said, "Do you mind if we come to your table and talk?" And I said, "Sure, fine." I just wasn't doing anything anyway, so we sat there, and my friend was dancing. And he finally said, "Are you sure you don't want to dance?" I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll dance." And we got out there and danced, and we were more interested in talking than anything because he was on a break from OU. And I was going to school at OCU, and we just kind of hit it off. And we've got involved. I got pregnant. And he said, "No, I'm not getting married. I already have a child. And I'm paying child support." And he said, "Why don't you get an abortion? That way it won't affect you and it won't affect me." And I said, "No, I can't do that. That was just not in me to do something like that." And I said, "Well, this is my 11th pregnancy. I had 10, and I had one stillborn. I had the rest were just miscarriages up to 2-3 months. And I said, "Well, maybe this time I won't have this child." But I said, "I'm not having no abortion." And that's when he moved in. He said, "Well, if you're going to have this baby and it's going to be mine too." He said, "I can't let you live here and party and do whatever you're doing." He said, "That's not right, Jan." I said, "Okay." So we lived together. We had Jose, and he was my 11th pregnancy after all those years. And we finally sat down and talked about it, and we got married. But before we got married, we started going to a church that he had attended while he was at OU. One day he said, "Well, if you don't want to go to church, Jan, I'm going to take my son. We're going to church." That was the longest day of my life because he took Jose, and I'm standing there, and they left. I said, "I'm not going to church." They left, and it seemed like it took hours and hours for them to return. It must have been about 3 or 4 hours, but it was the longest time of my life. It's the first time he was separated from me. And so I thought, "No, next time I'm going to go. I can't just let him take. What if he takes him and never comes back?" And so that's how I ended up going to church. I guess that was a way the Lord was leading me to hear his word, to hear the gospel. And I went, sometimes I'd go and I'd sit there and I'd fall asleep, or I get disinterested and think about something else. But as the weeks went by that I went on Sunday and Sunday afternoon on Wednesday, I mean every week, and I thought, "Oh, how boring, we got to do this again." But I think the turning point was the Sunday school. When it was presented, when we learned and I interacted in the Sunday school, and then that's when I began to realize that it was a tool that he made. He used my husband to bring me to church, but it was up to me to accept the Lord. When I was talking with the pastor's wife, we've talked several times about accepting the Lord and what I needed to do. And sometimes in the Sunday school class, they would ask me, you know, different things about my religion, and I would tell them, you know, this was how it is, and then they would relate it to, you know, this is what we do, and this is how you can accept the Lord, and they more or less kind of walk me through how when I accept the Lord, and it took me probably about 3 months to think about, to come home after church and think about, is this what I want to do? The answer was always yes, but in the back of my mind, when you're raised on a reservation with a different belief, you just have to think about it. Think how it's going to affect not only your life, but your relationship with your brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters are still on the reservation. They are not Christian, and I'm thinking, how is this going to affect my relationship with my family? And it took me 3 months to think it through and decide for myself, this is what I want for my family. And I got saved in Norman at that Hispanic church, and when I accepted the Lord, it seemed like, I mean, I just cried and cried, and didn't have no Kleenex. I just stood there and cried, and everybody was hugging me and saying, praise the Lord. And it seemed like years and years of frustration, my childhood, the alcoholism, the abuse that I went through in my lifetime, and the drinking, and the man that I've gone through, that I've lived with and married to, and all of that just came forth. And I mean, it just seems like everything was just coming out of me when I accepted. And when he says that he will forgive, he will forget all things that you had done before you accepted, that just came to mind, and I thought, it's behind me now, and I'm ready for the new horizon. I'm ready to take on this new life with Jesus, to walk with him.
It's not hard to hear the relief in Janet's voice. She had been carrying a heavy load for so long, but now it was gone. It reminds me of what Jesus said in the Bible in Matthew chapter 11. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My friend, are you carrying a heavy load of sin, shame, and regret? Why don't you come to Jesus? He will forgive you, restore you, and give you a new life, just like he did with Janet. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay for your sin's penalty so that you wouldn't have to, and so that you could walk in newness of life. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you. If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. And you can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.